We debated when we were putting this show together about whether you would really want to hear this many stories about mass murderers and serial killers. But, you know, then I thought about what's on my Amazon and Netflix queues, and probably on yours. Breaking Bad, Hannibal, Game of Thrones. We like shows with killers. I mean, likable killers. We like bad people in fiction, too. Think of Crime and Punishment, Frankenstein, Lolita. So there's a theory that reading fiction helps us learn to understand other people. And in the process, we become kinder, better, more empathetic. Joshua Landy is a professor of French and comp lit at Stanford, and he agrees, sort of.
I think it makes you a better person, but it doesn't make you a nicer person. I think it gives you a richer life, and I think it makes you better at all kinds of important mental skills. But I'm rather doubtful that in most cases it makes you more altruistic.
Haven't there been studies, though, connecting, you know, the development of empathy with fiction?
That is a really interesting question. What they've shown is that you get a little bit better at what they call theory of mind, which is reading the mental states of other individuals. But there's actually quite a big gap between that and being nicer to people. These same psychologists have figured out that bullies, for example, have a fairly high capacity for theory of mind. Bullies are very good at figuring out what makes somebody else tick, and that's how they manage to torment them as effectively as they do. So there are various unfortunate lines of behavior that depend on you having a pretty developed sense of what other people are thinking and feeling.
Well, that's very creepy. I guess I would have thought that the experience of reading and getting emotionally invested in a character, it's not just coldly understanding how their mind works. It's an act of active sympathy, active empathy. You get invested in the character. You care about them. Maybe you come to love them. That's rather different from just developing a theory of their mind, don't you think?
Well, that's totally true. But again, you just have to look at the data. There have been plenty of people who've had that experience with literature and gone on not necessarily to be very nice people. So Plutarch gives the example of a tyrant, Alexander Phoraeus, who used to weep at tragedies and then go back to having his citizens torn apart by dogs. And, you know, the famous examples are people like Goebbels, who was a big fan of Shakespeare, and my favorite, which is Himmler, who loved Siddhartha, which is Hermann Hesse's Buddhist novel.
So can argue that those are outliers, right? I mean, there are always going to be a few completely pathological human beings.
You can argue that. Suzanne Keene has done a fair amount of research on this. She tells this lovely anecdote of assigning her students in a class books about people in India and Haiti. And she asked the students, you know, how did this change you? And it turns out they called their mothers more.
Well, that's nice.
It's very nice. But what you get here is basically the influence of in-group bias. So there is absolutely caring for characters and empathizing your way into them. And it may even evoke some kind of warm, fuzzy feeling. But it's very like that warm, fuzzy feeling is going to get directed onto your own in-group.
Well, you could argue that, well, that's baby steps, right? I mean, at least they're becoming somewhat more empathetic towards their in-group.
Right. So that in itself is innocuous. I mean, so that claim would just be, look, let's ratchet down the rhetoric. Literature isn't going to transform everybody from a sinner to a saint. But I think there's a stronger way of putting it, which is very often we like to think that the point of reading works of fiction is for people to change their minds about something. And that, I think, is actually dangerous. People always cite the example of nice books that make people believe nice things. But I think if you encourage people to look to works of fiction to give them guidance as to how to behave, then all kinds of bad results are going to happen. So, for example, I know someone who went to see Edward Albee's play, The Goat, and concluded from it that bestiality isn't so bad after all.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it's an odd conclusion, but I think it's kind of logical given the way that people are relentlessly told to understand fiction. They're told to extract a message. And if you don't, you're not doing it right.
I mean, I don't see what's wrong with a writer exploring moral or ethical questions, though. I mean, what about, you know, Crime and Punishment, a book that asks very pointed moral questions about crime and guilt?
If you put it that way, then that's exactly the kind of thing literature should be doing and that we as readers should be doing, is exploring questions. But that's very different from, as a writer, trying to change people's minds, or as a reader, just surrendering all critical thinking and giving yourself over to some point of view of an author.
So what do you think of something like, I don't know, George Orwell's 1984?
Well, I don't know what I think about 1984. I mean, there certainly are didactic works out there. And there's room for there to be those works as long as we don't encourage people just to surrender to them and accept whatever they think they're trying to tell them uncritically. I mean, Crime and Punishment's a good example because some people like to say, you know, we learn from Crime and Punishment that crime doesn't pay and you're always going to feel guilty. Would we really learn that? I mean, you could watch Crimes and Misdemeanors, Woody Allen's film, and conclude the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, if you were to base all of your beliefs about the world on works of fiction, you become deeply confused.
Mm. So I take it you wouldn't go the other direction and say that literature exists for nothing but pleasure. It's just a form of entertainment and we should just lose ourselves in wonderful pieces of literature and characters and assume that it has no impact on us at all. So what do we get out of reading great literature?
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, in fact, one of my pet peeves is the kind of widespread idea that either literature is morally improving or it's just entertainment, which I think is very unfair, very unfortunate. I think there are a bunch of things that we get out of literary works. Some of them help us to feel things, and some of them console us, and some of them give a workout to really important mental skills, and some of them help us to understand who we are.
So a book can kind of break open feelings in us that we may have not been able to access. I guess I would have said there's something moral about that.
Well, I mean, you know, what I want to say is basically what they say on those, you know, those drug disclaimers. Results may vary. Right? So mm-hmm. you may unlock your emotions and that may make you a nicer person, and I may unlock my emotions and maybe that will make me a slightly less altruistic person. It's really unpredictable. But what you can say is it's going to give you a richer life.
So what do you say to students who, I mean, you teach French literature, some of which is not necessarily the easiest or most fun stuff to read. I mean, you know, plowing through Beckett or even Proust. All those volumes of Proust.
Yes.
So why bother?
I think for the reasons I was saying, that there's really no substitute for an engagement with a truly extraordinary work of literature to get to grips with who it is that you are and what it is you really care about. And there's no substitute for exercising certain mental skills, certain tricks of mind that you can only really fine-tune by means of literary works.
Yeah, Joshua, I just read a survey in Great Britain. 63% of the men surveyed said they don't read books, or at least not many. What do you think the consequences might be for a society that stops reading fiction?
Well, all predictions are wrong, so I hesitate to predict, but I do think we're going to lose out on a certain set of opportunities for self-understanding, opportunities for the cultivation of certain ways of thinking, habits of mind, possibly even opportunities for encountering our own feelings and, taking the axe to the frozen sea within us. Some of those things can certainly be satisfied by film and television, but I think there are going to be some things that are lost.
Hmm.
And I think maybe something like a certain kind of patience, a certain willingness to set foot in an experience that's going to take you days, maybe weeks.
Joshua, thanks for talking. This was great.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Joshua Landy co-directs the Literature and Philosophy Initiative at Stanford. He's also the author of How to Do Things with Fictions.